I'm Brian Wilson. We're very happy to be joined today by Colonel Tony Schaefer, a man who understands a lot about the intelligence community.
Morning, Brian.
A man who has been working with the Trump people on the transition effort, a senior fellow at the Center for Policy Research. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So joining us on the line right now is Rod Wheeler, a man who knows how police investigations go. We wanted to bring him in on this very tragic, very horrific case out of Chicago, which has now been determined to be a hate crime.
They're young adults and they make stupid decisions. That certainly will be part of whether or not a hate crime is, if we seek a hate crime, to determine whether or not this is sincere or just stupid ranting and raving.
Well, ultimately they did decide that it was a hate crime. Good morning to you, Rod Wheeler.
Good morning, Brian. Good to be with you.
You know, first of all, let's just get that out of the way. We had a case that had an element about race because this man, if you don't know the story, there was a mentally disabled man held against his will by four African-American individuals. He was forced to say things like F Trump and F white people. He was a white individual, and he was abused, he was tortured, he was held against his will, and eventually the four people who were arrested were charged with many things, including hate crime. But initially, Chicago police couldn't decide whether or not all that actually added up to being a hate crime.
Well, I think they had to be politically correct, and I just suspect, and I can only suspect because I'm not actually involved in that investigation, but it seems to me that we see this trend happening where politicians have so much to say in terms of the way police officers and police investigators conduct their business, and it's really interfering with the way that we conduct investigations. And so I think that the police superintendent in Chicago really wanted to call this a hate crime initially, but was probably forbidden because of maybe the mayor, Rahm Emanuel. I don't know. But it seems to be that way to me. Look, this was clearly, Brian, a hate crime. And here's the thing about it. You don't even have to try to figure it out why, because the suspects themselves said themselves on the video why they were doing this. They said F white people and F Donald Trump. This is a hate crime. It has all the elements there, and it should have been considered a hate crime initially. I'm glad that it ultimately was considered that.
Hey, Rod, it's Tony Schaefer here. I just, as a layman, and I'm a former intelligence officer, so I always try to look at things factually, and especially when something is, as you point out, as blatant as the suspects admitting the motive and what's behind it. Why is it we cannot have police leadership, such as in Chicago, just be honest? Why can't we do that?
You know, Tony, that's an excellent question, but I'll tell you, it's not the police leadership. And I've said this, and Brian and I have talked about this before. It's the elected officials that have to be, or feel like they have to be, politically correct.
Yeah.
They're trying to appease to their base. Look, I'll tell you, we can go case after case, crime after crime that has occurred, including, Tony, the terrorism-related crimes.
Look at
San Bernardino, how long it took for the government to call that terrorism. I mean, if that's not terrorism, what is? Look at what happened down in Dallas, Texas. If that's not terrorism and racism, what is, with the police officers down there in Houston, Texas?
Right.
So, you know, we see this over and over and over again, and it's really not the police department's fault, if you want my opinion. I think it's the elected officials.
Well, when the president of the United States calls it a hate crime, you have little you can do but jump on board. But one imagine, I mean, I'll just make this an observation, we'll move on. One imagines that if this had been a black individual tied up and held against his or her will by three or four white people, that the jets from the Justice Department would be fueled in about 10 minutes and they'd be headed that way.
Oh, we'd be marching and protesting, and Al Sharpton and everybody else would be here. But, you know, let me just mention this real quickly, Brian. I think what we see here, what happened in Chicago with that young individual being tortured, inhumanely tortured by four other individuals, I think this is a greater problem. I don't think it's just that. I think we have an underlying issue going on in this country, and what frightens me more, and I'd like to hear Tony's opinion about this as an intelligence officer, what frightens me more is that we're going to start seeing more and more of this race-baited, race-related crime and activity and torture and things like that going forward. It just seems to me that this is representative of what's to come.
Well, I think, Rod, your point's well taken. Look, I mean, think about this. These guys were basically doing Facebook Live in real-time torture. So somehow in their mind, the perpetrator's mind, this was okay. This is something that is permitted. So
yeah.
I think we have to take a step back and think about that very thing. It's like, how now can we think about something like that being permissible? And it goes to your point. It's like everything is seems to be, if you allow something to happen, it continues to expand on its own until someone does something to stop it. And nobody seems willing to actually say, well,
these guys were not the brightest individuals. I mean, they did actually broadcast torture on Facebook Live where it was seen by. And then by the way, now that's pretty key evidence in this particular case. There have been another case in Maryland, actually, where Facebook was used to lure a person down to Montgomery County. And then they actually lured this guy out into the woods and killed him. And apparently it's gang activity. There is this element now, it seems to me, of criminals using social media.
You're exactly right, Brian. And I'll just add a little bit more to that. When you speak with the police chief from Prince George's County, which is the county that I live in, and at the 8 o'clock hour, ask him about some of these homicides that you're going to be talking to him about and whether or not social media played a role in some of these. You're going to surprise yourself, and I think your listeners are going to be surprised to hear what he says.
Oh, no, that's a great point. I was out with my friend Dave Decatur, Sheriff Decatur, down in Stafford County, and this is exactly what he said. The law enforcement needs to start looking more seriously at social media because the criminals are figuring out ways to both communicate and basically plan their crimes on social media. So I think it's something law enforcement should be looking at.
All right. So what happens to these guys now? It seems to be a pretty open and shut case, isn't it?
Well, you would think it's a pretty open and shut case. There's a lot of evidence, obviously. I think they're going to plea out. That's just my opinion with the amount of evidence that the police have. These are four major felonies. They can carry up to 30 years in prison. And again, I think it's important that we emphasize we're not talking juveniles, as one of the police officers said yesterday. These are just a bunch of dumb kids. No, no. We're talking adults. The oldest was 24 years old, one of the females was. So hopefully, they will be adjudicated to the point whereby, they'll serve time have the repercussions coming to them.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. Rod Wheeler, thank you so much
for
giving us your expertise. Greatly appreciate it on this very troubling story.